Hi, everyone. I'm Matt Ryan, and welcome to this pop-up podcast, the second of two previewing a crowded Democratic primary, this one involving five candidates in the North Country looking to challenge Elise Stefanik this November. To help break down each, we have two experts on this race.
Experts.
Dave Lombardo, who is covering the primary for the Times Union, and Sean Ewerts of New York State Watch, a North Country native. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Thanks for that title, experts.
Wow. North Country native.
Yeah. I'm going to sell it here. So after following and covering this race for a while, it's one of those that if I could go back in time and do a documentary on, I would do it in a heartbeat because I think there are some really interesting characters and storylines here. But before we get to the candidates, let's discuss the end game here, and that is a matchup against two-term incumbent Elise Stefanik. Dave, give us a little background on who was the youngest woman ever elected to the House of Representatives.
Are you sure you want to spoil the ending? Because then it makes the upcoming primary fight, I think, a little less interesting. Because
for folks who are listening in New York City who might not know about Elise Stefanik.
I guess so, because the spoiler alert is I think Stefanik's probably going to win in November. Mm-hmm. But she sort of is a disciple of D.C. She has, I guess, roots in the district, hasn't really made it her home, but she's a Paul Ryan disciple to a large degree. And in 2014, she ran as the Republican, was going to take on Bill Owens, the two and change incumbent.
Yep. Moderate Democrat.
Yeah, oh, definitely. A blue dog Democrat swept in 2009 in a special election.
First Democrat elected in that area since the Civil War.
Yep, John McHugh had been in that seat, and then the Obama administration, I think Secretary of War or Army or
Army.
Something?
Army. Yeah. Yep.
Secretary of War.
Secretary of War.
Henry Knox. Yes. So she presented a serious challenge. He chose not to run again. And I believe it was Aaron Wolf.
Wolfpack.
What is
yes.
he? The upstate congressman from New York City or something like that? That was the line.
Not a good candidate.
Yeah. And, it was pitched as a real serious competitive race in 2014. It was not a competitive race.
Total
and
blowout.
She repeated that in 2016.
She
with Mike
upped
Derek.
The numbers. Yeah. She yes. increased her showing.
Over 60% in 2016.
Right. Right.
That's what we're facing in
2016. She beat Mike Derrick, who had a really good paper resume, but he didn't really translate on TV, his commercials and all that. But all right, so a little background there on New York 21. Let's get into it. There are five candidates: Tedra Cobb, Emily Martz, Patrick Nelson, Dylan Radigan, and Katie Wilson. We'll go through them one by one. Let's start, Sean, with Emily Martz. Who is Emily Martz?
To be honest, she hasn't really done very much that's translated, that's come across, I think, in terms of getting her name out there. And so, especially in terms of the fundraising, I see her signs around, but I don't think that she's really made too many inroads.
She's the business candidate,
that's right?
If you have to identify
right.
her.
From Saranac Lake.
Yeah, if you have to put everybody in a lane, she's the mm-hmm. business candidate. Speaking with her, she highlights her ability to find pragmatic solutions.
Yes.
She maybe doesn't want to be trapped down to any sort of hardcore liberal ideology at this point. She's sort of positioned well for a general on paper, mm-hmm. But she's the person who has the business credentials, gets stuff done. That's her identity.
And I think that's also really come across too in the debates, right? In that she isn't very strong on any particular issues.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have the excitement that some of the other candidates do.
But she did make news this week, Dave.
Yes. I mean, her and the governor are both focused on immigration and what's being happened with the families at the border. She traveled down to, I believe, El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And
down there to the border.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just to look at what's going on there. Her campaign said to me, hey, you want to cover this? And I was like, why'd she go down there? And they were just like, oh, it's a serious issue to her. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know what her personal beliefs are, but
to do so with less than a week.
She's got a primary on June 26th.
Less than a week to go.
Right.
It's an interesting decision.
Maybe she's trying to get the absentee voters who are down in the border and just get them to make sure they're registered to vote.
All right, so let's move on to candidate number two, Patrick Nelson, who hails from the lower right corner of the district, Stillwater. In Saratoga County.
Yeah, well, he was involved in both of the, he was very strong In the last cycle in particular, I know that he was running field operations for Mike Derrick.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then he did a stint in the assembly for STEC.
Stint would be right. It was short.
It was very short. Yeah. Right.
STEC, who was a Republican.
No.
Phil Steck.
Phil Steck. Yeah, okay. My bad.
With a K.
That's right.
With a K. And I think that his title, it was something involved with special projects, I think is what it was. So, and then he left that to run for Congress. And he has been, his fundraising numbers won't show it, but he's been the one who's... Right. But, you know, in a way, he seems almost proud of that.
Exactly.
Right.
Darn, this is not good.
A big Bernie supporter.
Yeah. Big Bernie supporter. And also, he's really been able to pack rooms. People come out to see him, and they see him engaged by what he has to say.
His strong point, for sure, is these forums and the debate they had on Mountain Lake PBS, which I would encourage people to watch on mountainlake.org, where you can see all of them in action. But when they're all up there, he arguably is the best at times.
He's very well versed in policy. Mm-hmm. He believes that understanding the policy, being able to talk coherently about it as opposed to being able to recite talking points is going to help him convince voters. I think it can if you are meeting every voter, if you are actually have the time to go around a 12 county district and engage with them. But he's not on TV. He has, a social media presence, but that's not the same thing as being able to really get your name out there. And, being the Bernie guy translates to something, but I don't know if it translates to enough.
I mean, that being said, though, I was going through their, their Facebook and Twitter presence, right? Mm-hmm. And he does have, by a good margin, the highest, besides Stefanik, of course, and Dylan Radigan, who brings a lot of that from his
former TV anchor
presence, right?
Yep.
He has these long, almost explainer videos where he literally sits down in front of a camera with a whiteboard and walks people through policy issues. I've seen his performance in the debates. He does take some stances that I think might have a tough time attracting voters in the 21st congressional district. But on the other hand,
generally, mean or the primaries?
Both.
Okay.
But on the other hand, a lot of those counties did go for Bernie in the primary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to candidate number three, Dave Tedra Cobb.
Tedra Cobb, the de facto frontrunner. She is the only one with legislative experience. She is a two-term county legislator from St. Lawrence. Besides that, her identity is largely focused on healthcare, which is a big turning point in this race for a lot of candidates. It's what a lot of them cite as the reason for getting in, and it's been the focus of her television ad, which she's invested a lot of money in.
One of only two on air.
Yeah, she's talking about her family's dealing with pre-existing conditions and the potential ramifications, and I think it's a good message for a district where the Affordable Care Act polls a little better than it did in the rest of the country, and where people are really concerned about what they're going to do about their health care.
Sean, why is she perceived as Dave said, the de facto front runner?
She's on TV. She has road signs lining the streets. She has a really good interpersonal skills, I guess. And she's, active and committed. She's everywhere.
Money and volunteers.
Yeah. Right.
Especially the volunteer. You're right. The money and
her
the volunteers.
Volunteer base is incredible.
Yes. I mean, she claims it's got more than 700 people. Based on her petitioning, I think she might have it because she brought in the most signatures. She had a good geography of it. And that translates to a good institutional support, which is what you need to get out the vote in a primary where turnout's going to be really low.
Absolutely.
And she does have some pretty significant weaknesses, though, I think we can touch on later.
Yeah. Well, let's touch on them right now as long as we're going one by one.
Yeah.
And I think I know where you're going because I said this last week. At the debate in Plattsburgh at Mountain Lake PBS, the one and only time they were on TV for such an event, she did not do well, especially in the beginning. She didn't know what camera to look at. She was lost in her notes. It was not a good showing for people who are seeing you for the first time.
Well, and she also has some other more significant issues, I think, going into it in terms of beyond just the image on TV, which is that she hasn't been able to lock up any labor support, and she actually has a very contentious relationship with labor, even back in her home county. So there was I don't know if you guys are familiar with the former mayor of Watertown, Mayor Graham. He has a little blog and a radio program.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So on Monday, Ernie Labaff, who's vice chair of the
deep cut.
Deep cut.
We're going in the weeds.
We're going in. And so Ernie Labaff is vice chair of the St. Lawrence County Industrial Development Agency, and former. He was very involved in unions up in St. Lawrence County and across the state. And he and Tedra actually sparred over an ethics reform package that Tedra was trying to...
Which she touts,
and yeah. She did eventually get it through. I was going back earlier this week and looking at some of the press coverage, and Ernie and her really went to war over this.
And I think it's important to note that her name is a combination of her mother's name, Barbara, and her father's name, Ted.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that name before.
That was the first question I asked her when I had her on the phone.
Great piece of trivia from Dave Lombardo.
But she's really... You know, without the labor support, I do wonder, you know, where she's gonna fall. And in this show earlier this week, Ernie said that if it comes down to a choice between Tedra and Stefanik, he might very well go with Stefanik.
Which are fighting words,
right? And ISA endorsed Stefanik in the last one, so unions aren't afraid to go for Stefanik.
All right. Well, let's move to a gentleman who entered the race at the end of February. I was there for his press conference in Saranac Lake. Dylan Radigan.
I'm like thousands of children who grew up in this beautiful, beautiful part of the world who are forced, if we want to pursue our dreams, to leave. And it creates stress and anxiety in families and costs and all these other things. Why is that? The resources aren't coming in.
Former cable news host slash personality turned... anything's possible in the Donald Trump era. Got into the race kind of late. His focus is really on overturning the status quo.
We can fix this.
Yeah,
that's his motto.
Bringing this together, it's the idea that we need to overhaul the system, and that way it can work for people. He is, very enthusiastic. I don't know whether he translates on the stump to good interpersonal skills. His supporters say, when he's in a small room with people, it works. And they also say that the benefit of having him is that he can bring a lot of attention to the district. He can bring a spotlight. I believe the quote from Tanya Boone, a former candidate who just recently backed him, said, he's got a big mouth and it'll be the big mouth for our district. So it's good stuff for the 21st.
The 12 chieftains in the 21st Congressional District, the Democratic county chairs, they sent around an email saying, listen, voters, vote with your mind and vote for whoever will beat Stefanik. And I think that a lot of people took that as a veiled endorsement for Radigan.
Really interesting.
I don't know that he really does, and I don't know that he'll translate.
Grew up in the district.
Right.
Went to college.
His grandfather was the mayor, I believe, of
Saranac
Lake.
Right.
Yeah, went to college in Schenectady. One of the things that we can get kind of lost in here is that he might be a celebrity and well-known to people at this table. He might be well-known to the few 100,000 people around the country that watched MSNBC.
Right.
He's not a household name in the district. He is not the equivalent of Donald Trump. People do not know him. And we've seen that with Cynthia Nixon on the state level. I'm a big Sex and the City fan. I watch the show. I know who Miranda Hobbs is.
Right.
But, not everybody in the state knows who she is, and we're seeing the same thing in the district.
I've said the same thing. I mean, he was on CNBC, MSNBC. He touts it that he had the highest-rated afternoon program on MSNBC before he left.
But, grandfather probably watched it before he died.
Do people in Ogdensburg or Keysville really know who he is?
How many 21st Congressional District voters are watching MSNBC in the afternoon?
Right. And we should say, he did start a pretty amazing farming program across the country for veterans.
Hydroponics, right?
Yep.
He's got that. He also, in the wake of his epic 2011 rant, started a sort of grassroots organization dealing with getting money out of politics. Mm-hmm. So, he's walked the walk. He's talked the talk. He's been involved in these issues. He put out a book regarding corruption. And this week, he got the former sheriff of Wall Street's endorsement, Elliot Spitzer, who was making phone calls on behalf of Dylan Radigan.
We've got sound of that. Let's listen in.
I've known Dylan for many years. He has been a persistent and successful fighter for reform. He challenged the economic structures that have done so much harm to this nation years before others even understood what was going on. His voice, both at MSNBC, CNBC, in so many different venues, has been important.
Sean, kind of a strange choice to get a disgraced governor to endorse your campaign. Is this a sign, a desperate sign? I mean, I don't know how to read this.
Disgrace, that was years ago. I've already forgotten. you know, make New York great again. I don't know. I Rattigan, in addition to Spitzer, he has also locked up a substantial amount of union support. Mm-hmm. And so that is really going to help him out. You know, it's always hard to know which way the union members are going to vote, as opposed to which way the union leadership endorses.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that he's, you know, one of the few who can really say that he has major unions behind him.
The Spitzer endorsement fits with the narrative of his campaign as well. It fits right. with the guy who's going to take on the financial markets, change Wall mm-hmm. Street. But you know, short of robocalls or you know TV, which he hasn't done. You know, how are people going to know?
Which is shocking. A former TV anchor has no TV ads.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I should say also that St. Lawrence County IDA guy, Ernie Labaff, he's actually come out and endorsed Rattigan. Right. And so, and in addition, a St. Lawrence County legislator, Tony Arquette, who's also pretty connected with unions. So there's
we've got the St. Lawrence County.
Listen, you know, I'm from St. Lawrence County. I gotta
just walk through all of the St. Lawrence County legislators. If we have, do we have time for that, Matt? Can we just go through all of them. All
right, my point though is that he's getting this support from people, you know, deep embedded in the North Country, mm-hmm. and from all parts. And I think that that's been an issue that you know past candidates have had. He does have a strong showing
okay.
there.
We spent a lot of time on him. Let's go to our final candidate. And that is Katie Wilson,
Katie from Keene.
A single mom from Keene, which is just outside of Lake Placid. Dave, what can you tell us about Katie Wilson?
Katie Wilson, she's 34 years old. She's got two children, and she's kind of the disruptor of the campaign. She's the person who tells the DNC to shove it and, you know, tells the DCCC, nah, I'm not listening to you.
Right.
I don't know how much of that is part of an act, part of a calculated strategy that this will play well in a Democratic primary mm-hmm. at a time when we've seen people like Bernie Sanders really resonate in a primary. You know, guy's not a Democrat, but did well with Democratic primary voters because there was anger with the establishment. And that's what she's trying to tap into. She's the anti-establishment candidate. She's the person who claims she can also reach across the aisle as well. She, you know, isn't necessarily a blue ideologue, but she claims to be the person who can relate to the challenges that everyone else in the district is dealing with, and that's the kind of thing that she's going to bring to D.C.
Right. I mean, and she has the endorsement of the Working Families
yes.
Party,
mm-hmm.
So you know, she's another one where the question is she going to stay on the ballot if she doesn't win the primary?
I think she said that she won't.
She says she doesn't want to be a spoiler.
Right.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right.
So I assume that, and she said that she'll support the Democratic candidate.
She's definitely of all the five candidates. Has gotten the most publicity online. She teased something a couple weeks ago that seems to say that she's going to have something on her on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
In the next couple days, but you know she's been on Vice. Vice has done something on her. She's been on MSNBC's KCDC show.
Right. And she does have you know a television presence.
Yeah, the only other candidate to have a TV ad.
A small ad buy, though.
It's a small ad, yeah. And it is pretty vague, but it looks nice.
So before we wrap this up here and give our predictions,
yeah.
which I'm sure we'll all get wrong, the question
Maybe
is...
you two will.
the big question is, who can beat Stefanik? Mm. Which of these five candidates would be the best person to beat Elise Stefanik? Dave, what do you think about that?
I guess first I would say that I don't think necessarily it's about one individual. I think it's about a national mood. I think it's about what the president is doing. I think it's about what the economy is doing. I think they are going to benefit from national trends. I think if the president is tweeting something crazy on November 1st and people are getting mad, and they're going to come out to vote.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only way any of these candidates are able to cross the finish line. That being said, I think it's the person who presents themselves as the alternate to Stefanik, who really can contrast the sort of critiques about her, which are that A, she's not engaged in the district, and B, that she's kind of just a party loyalist. So mm-hmm. if you find that person who can knock on doors, really connect with voters, and offer themselves as the person who will represent the district, that's who it's going to have to be.
She did get engaged in the district, though.
you say that because she didn't get married in the district.
Right. Saratoga Springs. Yeah.
Which is a great, as a resident, that's a great choice.
A blue streak yes. through and through.
I can't fault her for that.
I think she is really strong going into it, and she has painted herself as a bipartisan actor. And she's, you know, she's done it. She's taken some tough votes. Whether or not they were freebies, you know, that's for that's for someone else to say. But she took votes. You know, she voted against the SALT, you know, the tax bill that Trump put out. And she's been, she's also been pretty, you know, a champion in some ways of climate change issues.
So. And smartly, she's been out to Watertown a lot, where Fort Drum
she's
is.
She's been all over the place, And she, in fact, she's been a very big opponent of sequestration this whole time. Mm-hmm. So who can beat her? Gosh.
It's going to be a tough hill
to climb.
I'm glad
I'm not going up against her.
All right, so we're going to give our predictions 5-1 for this Democratic primary.
Can I say one? Can I bring
up one
more quick thing?
Yep.
The other question
is
Boyajian with his you know
who dropped out of the race.
He dropped out, but
now running for assembly.
But he still has a pretty big presence, just because he dropped out so late.
He's on the ballot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's gonna be a tricky.
By the way, Dave, is the Times Union gonna endorse in a primary or no? Do we? You might not even know. I'm putting you on the spot here.
I do not believe we are. I don't believe we conducted any interviews. Whether that will stop us from, you know, at the last second just declaring someone.
So I did see the post star in Glens Falls.
What I would say is everyone should buy multiple copies of the paper leading up to the primary, just in case we do, just to check that out.
State Watch won't be endorsing.
Okay. All right. All right, let's go through 5-1. Sean Ewer of New York State Watch, you go first.
5-1. All right, I think Martz comes in number 5. I think Radigan comes in 4.
Wow.
I know. I just don't think he has the name recognition. Okay. I think Nelson comes in. We come in 3. Wilson for silver medal, and I think Cobb gets it. You know, I said some negative things earlier, but I think that she still has the most.
Dave Lombardo.
So my list is going to differ until the end, but I think Nelson is at the end. I think he doesn't have the institutional support. Mm-hmm. I think he plays well in small rooms, but I can't see him getting enough votes all over the district. I think Martz is a good candidate on paper. I don't know whether she's actually going to be able to bring it together. Mm-hmm. I think 3 is probably Katie Wilson. Mm-hmm. I think she's just failing to get that up to that second tier, that top tier, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Then I think it's Dylan Radigan. I think he's the alternate choice to Tedrick Cobb. And then I think Tedrick Cobb is the winner of this primary. I think it comes down to a conventional wisdom look at this race, which is the things we talked about. She's got money, she's been on TV, and she has a outreach campaign and grassroots campaign that could and should translate to a victory in a very crowded field that's not gonna need 40% to win.
So true.
And Matt, what do you have?
Well, I'll be the contrarian here, I guess. I think Cobb is the favorite, and her numbers that you guys pointed out are pretty tough to beat. Here we go. I got Martz 5, Nelson 4, Radigan 3.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, I see where he's going with this.
Whoa. I got Cobb 2, Wilson 1.
Wow.
I mean, listen, I think she's got a really good presence on social media. What that translates to, I have no idea. But I think she's got some decent grassroots support. So while I will agree Cobb is the favorite, I'll stick my neck out here.
It feels weird saying Cobb in this political climate in the last few years, where we've seen things like Donald Trump emerge from the crowded Republican primary, where we've seen Bernie Sanders, like we said, a non-Democrat, really just push for the Democratic nomination. It feels odd saying that that Cobb, the sort of classic traditional candidate, is going to be the winner. But, I mean, conventional wisdom is right most of the time. That's why it's the conventional wisdom.
It's a great point. And if we all look foolish and who we had 5 turns out to be 1, feel free to tag us on Twitter.
It'll be another day that ends in Y.
CC freezing cold takes. For those of you who follow that account. All right, our thanks to Dave Lombardo of the Times Union and Sean Ewert from New York State Watch for joining us. And if you are eligible to vote this Tuesday and you have a primary, please go vote. I'm Matt Ryan. Thanks for listening.